This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, how? Do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And this week, with the original broadcast date on this, is the week of Thanksgiving. And, you know, that's a time of thankfulness and gratefulness and gratitude.
But thankfulness and gratefulness are things that we always need.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, and the Word of God says, in everything, give thanks.
Right. You know, the Bible also says to do all things without grumbling or complaining. And, you know, I remember as a new believer in Bible study and in college, that verse, the first time I really encountered it, struck me hard because I realized just how much of my daily conversation was griping.
Oh.
It was ingratitude, grumpiness, you know, entitlement.
It's the sport all
cynicism.
College students play.
It's one of the greatest indoor sports in college is griping. We gripe about professors, about homework, about the dormitories, about the food, about, you know, everything.
And look, we have kids in college. We understand there's a lot to gripe about.
Well, you know what? That is true. And guess what? There's a reason for this. You know what the reason for it is? We live in a fallen world.
Yes.
This is not heaven. It's broken. And yet, I was driving along today. I was on a big errand this morning, and we still have some fall color up. Our leaves change late in the year. And I'm driving along thinking, you know, this world is so fallen, and it's damaged, and it's broken, and it's still beautiful.
Breathtakingly beautiful.
And it works. And God created an incredible world that grows and sustains itself and heals itself of so much with God's superintendence.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that and I say, you know, I'm so thankful that even when the world is broken and fallen and marred by sin, it's stunningly beautiful in its appearance and in its design and in its purposefulness.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about going to heaven, and I was thinking about how much I value the life that God has given us here on earth, that even in a fallen world where things go wrong and bad things happen and there's sadness and grief and evil, even living in a home full of sinners, there's still so much joy here.
And so we need to be thinking about that, because the Bible tells us over and over and over and over to be thankful, to praise God for His grace and His mercy and His provision for us. And we're told not to complain, not to be grumblers and gripers and all of that kind of thing, but rather to be people that are marked by gratitude. And this is a time of year which is a really good time to talk about gratitude. Just like when it's Valentine's Day, yes, read 1 Corinthians 13. We talk about love. That's the season of love. But shouldn't we be loving all the time? Yes. Shouldn't we be grateful, thankful people all the time? Absolutely. Now, okay, so we've got that vision. What do we do about it?
Well, somehow we've got to both show gratefulness ourselves and teach our children to be grateful. One of the ways that we best teach them is to get grateful ourselves.
Because they learn by our example, and we're teaching even when we think we're not.
Well, yeah, I learned that when I think my sarcasm is funny. But when I heard my sarcastic things coming out of my children's mouths, it was not funny.
Mm-hmm.
When we practice gratefulness, when we talk in a grateful way, when we interact gratefully, our children notice and they see it and they learn this is how a Christian adult responds to trial.
Mm-hmm.
This is how a Christian adult responds to blessings, that we give thanks in all things.
Yeah. And if this is not your habit, you might think, oh, that sounds smarmy. That sounds, I could just imagine people just walking around just being happy, 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 happy all the time when there's things that really are seriously an issue. And that's not what we're talking about. Because even in our troubles, I mean, you know, even Jesus wept sometimes.
Yes.
You know, even Jesus grieved over things that he had the power to fix and was about to fix. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging reality.
Right.
But God wants us to take reality, acknowledge reality, but not to wallow in the sinful fallenness of the world, but rather to rejoice in the goodness that he allows us.
And there's a lot to rejoice for. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of challenging, though, when you realize, okay, I need to be grateful. How can I manage that? Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that has helped me over the years is what your mama said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of your mother as kind of the ultimate Pollyanna.
Mm-hmm.
She always tries to see the bright side of things.
Yeah.
And I've asked her about that, and evidently it's something she's worked toward.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing she's always done with us when things go badly is she says, well, let's think of 10 good things about...
There was a children's
the
book.
The van dying or whatever.
There was a children's book about, I think, if I recall the story correctly, it was a little boy had lost a pet. He lost his goldfish died or a dog died or something. And his mom was trying to help him through his childlike grief. And she said, well, let's think about 10 good things. I think it was Freddie was the pet's name. I don't even know what it was. But let's think of 10 good things about Freddie. And that's, you know, on the one hand, you
actually,
think.
Actually, it appears to be Barney.
Barney? Was it Barney? Okay. Yes,
I'm
Amazon's
good. I'm
looking
it up right now.
You're looking up the 10 good things about Barney? Okay, that's good. Well, at any rate, you know, on the one hand, it sounds a little contrived, but it really does work. When you get into a bad situation and you think, wow, what an awful thing that just happened here. Okay, let's think about what are 10 good things about the situation. You know, kind of like the van died in Iowa. And I realized, and go back and listen to that program if you want a really remarkable program.
It was amazing.
But when our van just died, end of the road, that's it for the van. You know, one of the things that went through my mind is, well, I don't have to fix that thing I was worried about. You know, there were some things on the van that I really need to replace this. And
that's kind of the beauty of the 10 good things about exercise is it gets funny really fast. Because you can think of the normal, obvious things. I'm thankful we get to see God's mighty works. And we did get to see God's mighty works.
Oh, yeah, awesomely.
It was amazing. Yeah, I'm thankful it happened at the Sense house and not at some stranger's house because they love us and they'll take care of us and they'll forgive us.
They were nice people to stay with. But yeah, I mean, you do, it does kind of get funny. And I think that's part of the reason it's therapeutic.
Yes.
Is to start, you know, to start and say, well, you know, now I don't have to clean that thing as often as I used to. I don't have to, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about... finding something to match that shirt now that it's whatever. You know, you can take all those kind of situations and turn a situation that is, okay, objectively, legitimately, something's gone wrong, something's been taken away. It may not be a major life-changing grief situation, but it's an inconvenience.
And you know what? Something that I've found over the years is mm-hmm. that even in the major life-changing things,
mm-hmm.
lots of times there are tremendous things to be grateful for that we just can't see yet. You know, it seemed like a disaster all those years ago when you lost your corporate job and we were wondering what in the world the Lord would have us to do. But I don't think we would have ever started this ministry or written our book if you had still been working 60 hours a week in corporate America.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
And so it seemed like a disaster. It happened right at the holidays. So depressing. It seemed like a disaster, but really it was a gift because it opened up a whole new world for us that answered a lot of the longings and desires of our hearts.
And, you know, one thing that I got tested on pretty severely a couple of years ago, we all did, back in late 2009, I was diagnosed with lymphoma. I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was stage 4, meaning it had spread to several organ systems, and it wasn't discovered until, you know, fairly far in the process. And I was challenged by a friend of ours who I think had a terminal cancer, and she may be with the Lord now, but an acquaintance of ours sent me a link to an article by John Piper. And John Piper had gone through cancer as well. And he had written an article just before going in for surgery called Don't Waste Your Cancer. And the thrust of the article was this, that we serve a loving God. And everything that comes through our lives passes under the inspection of that loving God who has promised that he's working all things together for good for those who love God.
Yes.
And I have always clung to that verse. I've always held to that verse as one of my favorites. And so I'm sitting here in my house thinking, I may not see next Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, do I really believe that God works all things for good, even cancer, even dying at the age of 45? Is that good? Well, you know, if God means it for good, then it is ultimately for good. You know, even if the time it's a disaster and yet God is working through the disaster. And, you know, God was very merciful to us and he's healed me of that cancer now. And we've, you know, moved on to different things in life and all. But when I look back at that and realize that was a real pivotal point for me to have to sit down and ask myself, am I willing to trust when everything is very, very dark around me?
And it's been interesting to me to see how many people have mentioned that our being able to smile and find joy in all the crazy trials we've been through in the past several years has been a testimony to them and has caused them to turn to the Lord, that I realized that what it says in Philippians is really literally true. Do all things without grumbling or disputing or complaining or arguing, depending on which translation you read, that you may be lights in the world. And when we stop whining and start being grateful and thankful, it really does make us lights in the world, Hal.
It does. And, you know, that struck me when I really was confronted with that verse in college. And I looked around and I thought, I'm a grumbler. All of my friends are grumblers. We get together and we grumble about things. What if I didn't? Mm-hmm. What if I weren't that way? Would that send a message? Would that say, hey, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness? You know, if I am I a testimony to the people around me by something as simple as not being a grouch, by not being ungrateful? Well, you know what? We've all got an opportunity to do that same thing this coming week, because almost invariably, we're going to be surrounded by family members that we don't see very often. We're going to have all of the family together. And wow, what an opportunity to be a testimony and a witness to all of those around us. Either, you know, a testimony of the power of the gospel to those who don't know, or an encouragement to increase the faith of those who do.
Yes.
And so, you know, as we go through this week in particular, but really through all of life, what can we do to be people of a heartfelt, not just a put on, but a real live grateful spirit?
Well, let's talk about some practical ways to do that with our kids. Okay. Because I think most of us know we're not grateful enough. But it's easier to work on yourself. You know, you make that commitment, you talk to the Lord about it, you focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you teach your children to be grateful? I think that's what people really want to hear too, because it's awful living in a place where everybody's whining all the time.
How sharper than a serpent's tooth is an unthankful child.
Yes,
it's
really.
An ungrateful child, it says in the Proverbs. So, well, okay. Modeling thankfulness and gratefulness ourselves. Recognizing God's hand in all of the things that, all of the blessings that we have, but also in the trials that God gives us to produce our patience, our perseverance, to grow our faith. When we are thankful to God in all things, and we talk about that to our kids, not as a put on, but really to live it out and say, by the way, you know, this is what we all should be. That's an important part of it.
Sometimes doing like physical things to help us remind us of gratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
One easy thing that we've done at the Thanksgiving table is the 5 kernels of corn. You know, we tell our children the story of the starving time at Plymouth when our ancestors came here and they went through a horrible winter. They nearly starved. They were able to get what they could fish and hunt, but the only stores they were able to get out at one point of grain were 5 kernels of corn a person.
That was all that they had in reserve. Everything else was what they managed to catch or to discover day by day.
A lot of which they didn't know even whether it was safe to eat or not.
Yeah.
And so at Christmas, we put 5 kernels of corn. Thanksgiving, we put 5 kernels of corn on everybody's plate. Mm-hmm. And our children read that poem, 5 kernels of corn. Mm-hmm. And it reminds us, you know, look at this. This is what the people that founded our country went through. Mm-hmm. In order to bring religious freedom to the new world.
Right.
And it reminds us, tell them about the Thanksgiving tree, Hal. I think that's a really helpful thing, too.
Yes, it is. And it was, in a way, it was a little bit funny, too. But during one of these situations of job change, and we've been through lots of restructurings and such like that over the years, one year I got notice that my job was being shut down right before Thanksgiving. And I was thinking, well, that's a shock. That's unpleasant. Now, how can I help my family through this time when we should be thankful and not gloomy? And I got an idea. I got a big sheet of brown paper. Now, I worked in a paper mill, and we made craft paper, like for cardboard. And so it was really easy to get a big scrap of brown paper. But you could use, like, brown wrapping paper from the Dollar Tree.
Yeah, or paper bags. Store, or
paper bags or something.
And tape them together.
But anyway, I made a big tree trunk, you know, 5 feet high, and just, you know, with a few branches out there, and put it on the wall in our kitchen. We ate all of our meals in this great big kitchen we had in this house. And Melanie and the children gathered some fall leaves from outside, and they used those as patterns, and they cut a whole basket full of construction paper leaves, all the different fall colors, okay? And we put those on the table with a marker, and every time we sat down to eat, everybody had to write something down on one of those leaves that they were thankful for, and we would stick them up on the tree. Well, you know, the first time or two, you know, I'm thankful for Mama, I'm thankful for Daddy, you know, I'm thankful for our dog, I'm thankful we have a house. Those are all things that are very easy to see. But then it got harder because you weren't allowed to duplicate anything. And then you had to start kind of thinking a little more deeply, well, what do we have that God has blessed us with that we might not otherwise have? Well, of course, we wouldn't have anything if God didn't give it. But the things that are just in view to look at and see, I'm thankful for our health insurance. I'm thankful for mild weather in this part of the country. You know, I'm thankful for corrective lenses. I have glasses. I'd be blind without them. Yeah, I'm thankful for lenses.
For clean water.
We're thankful. Yeah, clean water. That was a good thing. I'm an engineer. Melanie's a scientist. Somebody put down, I'm thankful for reproducible results. You know, because that's kind of the basis for scientific method, is you could repeat the experiment. And, you know, after a while, it almost got funny because we're getting way out there and thankful for stuff that you never think of. Because God is so gracious, and He gives us so much from day to day that, you know, we never walk out in the street and worry about being blown up. You know, we never walk out in the street and worry that, you know, that aliens are going to suck us up into flying saucers or something. I mean, God just makes things happen so matter-of-factly that we forget sometimes that we need to be thankful for them. And so, by the end of the season, this, you know, over 2 or 3 weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, we had covered that wall. We had leaves all over the place. And, you know, when we sat down to eat Thanksgiving dinner and we looked at that tree and we kind of laughed over some of the things, but really and truly it said, children, we have hundreds of things to be thankful for. And
it was beautiful.
And maybe we don't, you know, maybe the job is a little iffy right at the moment, but look at all this other stuff.
And
that's what we needed.
And when we look at what God has done in the past, it makes it a whole lot easier to be grateful and to be trusting about what He's going to do in the future.
You know, you've had some really unpleasant pregnancies. And I remember the first one we had that was just like a train wreck. And you were singing through the hymnal to encourage yourself during the days. And one of the hymns that you picked up going through there, and I thought about it often in later years, was Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him, or.
Yes.
And, you know, that was, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, that chorus that says, I've tested him out. It says, I have gone to Jesus with my problems and cried out in my suffering and my confusion and my fear, and over and over and over and over, he's answered and taken care of it.
Well, that's exactly what spoke to me in that hymn. The hymn is, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word and rest upon his promise and to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over, just rang with me that he has proven himself mighty in our lives. He's taken care of us. He's blessed us. He's provided for us. And I don't need to worry because I know that he loves me.
So that's a really good thing to bring back to mind, especially when you're in uncertain times. A job change, a job loss, a time of illness, or some other difficulty or struggle in your life, to go back and to say, hey, we have seen God's hand before.
Another way that our children have learned gratefulness is through stories that help them to have an example.
Okay.
Pollyanna was a very powerful one for us.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Disney movie. They really simplified it to the point that it misses a lot of the goodness. But one of our daughters found a copy of the original book written 100 years ago and asked me if I would read it before she read it. She was at that stage where she wasn't sure she wanted to read a book that long. And I read it and I could not, I didn't want to read it at first. I thought it was going to be preachy and boring, but I couldn't stop laughing. It was so funny. So, let's do it as a family read aloud. And everybody loved it. The teenage boys were saying, Mom, are you reading Pollyanna in there? Can you wait till I'm done with the dishes? I wanted to listen to it. Well, we listened to it. It was hilarious. See, the story is that Pollyanna is the daughter of a pastor, and they're very poor. They're missionaries out west. And her mother dies, and they're very poor. And he teaches her how to be grateful by playing a game with her.
Mm-hmm.
When he dies, she's sent back east to a relative who knows her duty, but really doesn't want her, and is very uncomfortable with the child in the house. And she really tries to make Pollyanna as miserable as possible at first. And Pollyanna refuses to understand it because she's learned to be grateful, and she's learned to be content. And it makes for some really funny situations.
Oh, there are. There are some hilarious situations. But the real point of it was, in every situation, in every incident in her life, even if she was a little flustered at first and would forget herself, she would remember, I've got to be grateful. I've got to be grateful. Find something to be glad about. And she would do it. And, you know, when people were being unkind or situation was especially bad, it just amazed everybody. And it started to change the people around her.
It really, you know, and we saw it change our family. It changed our guys and inspired them to look for reasons to be grateful instead of reasons to be miserable. And that's why we turned into an audiobook on our site, in our store.
Yeah.
Because it meant so much to us. And I keep hearing feedback from other people that story has changed their kids' attitudes. And you know, that's what prompted me to do the next audiobook, The Five Little Peppers, which I'm just finishing recording, and it's going to be released this weekend.
Yeah.
Because that story is of a family who the father has died. They're very, very poor. And yet the family is full of joy. Trials come, they still find joy. They still trust God. And even when the blessings come and all the worry is taken away, they look back to those days of not having anything with fondness and remember the joy. And it made me think about, do you remember one time you were out of work, corporate layoff, and we were really struggling, and the Lord provided though, but we ate a lot of beans and rice and cornbread and not as much meat as we were used to. And I I was so thankful when we were done with that and we could buy chicken again and we could buy things that I love to eat and steaks. And but I remember the children saying a few months down the road when everything had gotten better, you got a new corporate job, saying, "Mama, you remember that the beans and rice we used to eat? I sure miss that. I wish you'd make some beans and rice and cornbread again for us." And I realized that, you know, what I saw as deprivation, our children actually enjoyed and found joy in.
And a lot of times, you know, so much of the time, our children are taking their cues from us. Yes. And if we are grumbling and discontented and unhappy, then they say, okay, this is a bad situation, and it's okay to feel grumbly and discontented, because look at mom and dad, and they can do something about it. But when we have an attitude that, hey, we're going to trust God, we are going to rejoice in the blessings he gives us, and we're going to have faith that he will show us the way through the difficulties, because he's done it over and over again.
Yes.
Then they look at things around them and say, okay, if that's the way it is, then let's go. And it's remarkable how often, you know, think about this, when your own children are toddlers and they're just starting to learn to walk. I noticed this early on. Of course, we've got boys, so dad's a little tougher sometimes with the boys. But that little toddler would let go of the table and he would take a step and he would fall down, boom, but he wouldn't cry. He would immediately look up like, should I be concerned? And I thought, well, he's not hurt. Let me just play this off. And would say, okay, let's get back up. That was a big boom, but you're okay. So let's go. And the baby would say, oh, all right, fine. That, and he wouldn't cry and he wouldn't be upset. And yet, if we had, you know, like one of the grandmothers here and she said, oh, poor thing, he's falling down, then the baby would say, oh, my, I must be damaged. Oh.
And have hysterics.
And you know what? They take the cues from us. And if we are maintaining our level of gratefulness as adult believers, they are learning how to walk in a gratefulness as well.
That's right.
An important lesson.
Well, you know, we're about out of time, Hal, but I just encourage you guys to work toward thankfulness, because it makes for such a more pleasant home. And we know that's what God wants us to do.
You know what? There's one other thing that we haven't mentioned that I think it bears saying. As parents, we put a lot of demands on our children. And that's right. They need to be trained. They need to be challenged. They need to be urged on to achievement and urged on to responsibility and all the rest. But you know what? It means a lot if we appreciate them. Mm-hmm. If we say, son, thank you so much for cutting the grass. You know, even if we can't pay them, or even if it's just a chore that they do and they don't expect to be paid, just to say, I appreciate you doing that. I mean, that's a real contribution to the family. To say to your daughter, thank you so much for helping me with the baby this afternoon. You know, and you can just order it. You can just expect it. And they're supposed to obey you. And yeah, that's the way it is. But it means so much if you say it with gratefulness and with actual appreciation.
It really does. It changes their attitudes. It changes our attitudes too. And I think it really builds love and regard and loyalty in our children.
Who doesn't want to feel appreciated?
Everybody does. And when we do, you know, I know our children respond by saying, I'm glad to do it, Mom. I'm so glad to help you, and volunteering to do more.
So think about that. If that's not something you do in your family, give it a try and see what happens.
That's a great point, Hal.
Yeah. Well, look, I think we probably can wrap things up at this point.
Oh, but we have a gift. We have a holiday gift for these people.
Oh, for those who are listening soon enough to get it. Yes.
Okay. We are giving away copies of our Thanksgiving book.
Yes.
Called Christ-Centered Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And it has a copy of the poem we talked about, and it describes the Thanksgiving tree.
Yes.
And it has tons of fantastic recipes. It's like a Thanksgiving unit study, because it has all the history that you can read your kids, and the Thanksgiving proclamations of Lincoln and Washington. It's like a unit study. And a holiday planner, because it helps you break down the task of the next few days to get ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And a recipe book all in one.
Yes. So if you have never put on the whole big feast of Thanksgiving, because it's so complex, yeah, it is. But this book will help you organize it in such an easy, straightforward manner that you'll find, yeah, this can be done. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. And this book is just a tremendous resource. In fact, it's the information that we found ourselves looking up over and over and over again. And so now we just go to our ebook because it's got all of our recipes already there. It's got our checklist that you wrote up already there and all the other stuff that we want to share with the children and share with the family.
So go to raisingrealmen.com/Thanksgiving gift.
Mm-hmm.
No caps, no spaces. And you can get the book. And when you love it, we've now turned it into a hard copy book. You can come back and order it on our site. Should be up the next couple of days.
Yes. Well, I think we do need to wrap it up here. And we do appreciate you. We are thankful for you. We are full of gratitude for our listeners, okay? And we hope you'll join us any Monday night or out on iTunes or just cruise through the archives at halandmelanie.com/radio, which will link you right back to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. So until next time.
Happy Thanksgiving.
From both of us, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thank you. God bless you all for listening.
Bye, folks.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.